Okay, so my name is Marcia Lee Malden.
And will you spell that for us?
Yes.
M-A-R-C-I-A, a different pronunciation, and then Lee is L-E-E, and then Malden is M-A-U-L-D-I-N.
And you are welcome to have a seat and hang out and talk to us, and I will scan, you know, things that need to be scanned, and whenever we're scanning, we're just asking, you know, you can tell us, you know, the importance behind, you know, the item or any type of stories attached or, like, you know, maybe if it's a photograph, you know, what was going on or what had happened for that to be photographed, and anything else that you think that would be interesting or useful information for us to know.
Did you mostly bring newspapers?
No, I have a variety. The newspaper things I brought because of the most important item. I have this postcard, and I'm sure you've never seen this, Carrie.
No, I'm excited.
Hiawassee High School building, Hiawassee, Georgia. It's a very old postcard. It is postmarked October 28, 1920. It was a postcard that was sent to my grandmother, Mary Wilson, when she was 16 years old. It was from a young man, an admirer, that it says something about, "Say, kid, why was you not at church Sunday? You sure did miss a good sermon. Say, ought to come to BYRV from a friend," which she told me at the time was like a youth meeting, the BY, the Y being youth. It's addressed to Miss Mary Wilson, Presley, Georgia, which was the way they received the mail in that community where I lived. My grandmother gave this to me at the time because she said I was the only one of the grandchildren that would attend the old school, which is this one.
Okay.
And the new school, which was this one. This is what was in the newspaper. They reprinted this from the 1940 newspaper at the time this new school was opened. It was built in the 39, so wow. This is the full page newspaper article that I kept that was reprinted. So, and it has a little bit of, I guess, history of how schools got started.
Wow.
So, I brought the newspaper things because I felt like it was a nice connection to this postcard. Now, if I need to take that out of that, I had it framed.
I was about to say, nope, it'll be just fine.
I can take it out of the mat, but Nanny gave that to me.
Oh, wow.
Way back, and I'm not sure if your dad's even seen it, Carrie.
Probably not.
But he might have seen it because I keep it framed in my house.
I'm going to take a picture of the back, too.
And where I have it framed, I have it framed glass front and back, so you can... I have it hanging on the wall now, so you can see both sides of it.
Oh, I love that.
But
is so cool.
She was not interested in this young man. She said she started to throw it away, but because it had that Hiawassee High School picture on it, she scratched his name out, and she kept it.
Wow. That is so cool. So cool.
Let's
As we process, I'll keep everything on the side.
Is this the older newspaper?
This is the older newspaper. This was reprinted.
Okay.
And it does have, I guess it does have some history that goes with the school down to about right here. I think this all goes with that picture.
Okay, perfect. I will make sure that we can.
Who's Jerry Taylor's room?
Perfect. That
Jerry Taylor was actually my 8th grade Georgia history teacher.
I'll be darned, because he taught her too. He's excellent.
That's when I first got to know Jerry and told him about a cemetery.
Fantastic.
That, a small old cemetery that was on my dad's property, which I've inherited now. And he calls it the old Alston Cemetery. There are three graves on my property.
Really?
And it's an old family cemetery. The Alstons were the ones that owned that at one time.
Wow. I am learning so much about my family today.
It's cool that we got to be in the room together, Carrie.
I'm so excited. Well, Darren Osborne was in here earlier, so of course we have a connection on the mall.
Yeah,
so I'm
we're related.
I'm learning so much.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, this is fantastic. And and I love how you connected and brought, you know, both of the newspapers as well. Because, like I said, just to kind of give you a background before we even go further, like, mm-hmm. you know, we obviously want to preserve and, you know, keep all these artifacts for many years so everybody mm-hmm. can look back and, you know, see this, but also help teach, you know, future generations about histories of Towns County and things like that. So anything mm-hmm. that you think would be applicable to mm-hmm. tell or that you want to share about that, it would be mm-hmm. awesome, and we'll get in.
I thought this was neat, and my class of 1978 was actually the first class to graduate from this new school building.
Oh, cool. The very first class. Wow. Yeah.
So I feel like that was an honor. My sister's class was the last class to graduate from this building.
Okay.
And this building had a boiler heater. It had wood floors. And we often were out of school because if you went to school here, the boiler would go out and they had a hard time finding parts to fix the heat. So we'd be out of school for a week and them trying to fix the heat.
Yeah.
When I was in high school. So,
awesome.
That's a pretty cool.
Have you zoomed this one?
Yeah, I've got the. I've scanned both of those.
Okay.
Yes.
And if you want to just stack them up after you've looked at them.
That's what we're doing here.
Okay, my next thing, I don't know who I need to show first,
it
but
matter, yeah.
there's kind of a connection. This okay. is Grandpa Malden. You've probably
yes.
seen this before.
Yes.
This is your dad leaning against the tree.
Oh my goodness.
He is board splitting at the Georgia Mountain Fair, and this is at the old campus. That old
yeah.
used to be dormitory brick building is in the background. And this is my dad. Of course, he did a demonstration
yeah.
at the Georgia Mountain Fair also. And he did... Originally, he did a logging demonstration, but
mm-hmm.
then he started with a cider trough, which is something they did when he was growing up. They would take a tree, and they would carve out certain ways to where they could take fresh apples, press the apples using leverage, no modern machinery at all. Everything is made out of a tree except for a chain, which would have been a logging chain. And as you can see in this picture, there's a little spout where the apple cider, the fresh pressed juice, pours out into a bowl out of the tree.
How cool is that?
So I thought that was a nice connection with them both doing demonstrations mm-hmm.
at the Georgia Mountain
Fair.
Yeah.
Do you know when this was? About what time?
It was in the 60s. Me and Leo are the same age, so... It was the mid-60s, probably 65 to 67,
yeah,
somewhere right in there. Somewhere I have a brochure that this picture was on the brochure as well, and this picture
cool.
is on display at the Georgia Mountain Fair. There's also one of my dad
yeah.
with the cider trough on display at the Georgia Mountain Fair.
Yeah.
So if you look at that cider trough closely, that is it's interesting how
mm-hmm.
I've got another picture. Of course, we were told we were limited to 10, but I have another picture that shows where he was actually, he took a wooden mallet and chopped up the apples Let's see if I have that one just to show y'all. I guess I didn't get it put in here. I don't see it.
I love the apple juice coming out of it.
Fresh apple cider. And the fair did not allow him to let people that watch taste it because it wasn't pasteurized and they were concerned about liability. So he had a little build in there that he had a refrigerator in. He would pour the juice up into a jug and he would keep it in a refrigerator and he would take it home and he would freeze it. And then we would drink it, or when we made homemade applesauce, he would use some of the apple cider to pour in as the juice to add to the water to cook down the apples.
Yes. And for the record, will you state the names of everybody in the pictures, and then that will help give some details.
Okay.
I was just thinking about that.
Yeah. Okay. The first picture is Earl Douglas Malden with a mallet in his hand. He's doing the board splitting. And that's Carrie's dad, Leo Abernathy, when he was a little boy. And this picture, my dad, who's sitting on this long beam, is Donald Mac Malden, the son of Earl Malden.
Thank you. I was like, I know, but I'm like, not everybody else will know.
So not everybody else will know.
Yeah, so I was like, we'll make sure, and then that way anybody you want to identify is also super helpful too.
Okay. The next picture I'm going to show is a picture of Presley Post Office in its original location with my great aunt's husband, Cecil Adams, standing at the door. Nadine and Cecil Adams were the ones who ran the Presley Post Office, and it was in their front yard. Nadine Adams is a sister to my grandmother, Mary Wilson, the one the postcard was written to.
Oh, cool. So she probably got to see it before Mary did.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, cool. This is a wonderful picture.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know about what time frame that would be?
I don't know about the time frame on this one. I know mail was still being received at the Presley Post Office in the 50s, because I have a letter that my dad got after he got out of the military in 1954 that's addressed to Donald Malden, Presley, Georgia. So I know they were still receiving mail at Presley in the 50s.
Okay.
I don't know how much later.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know when that transition was made to all of the Presley Post Office ended up going to Hiwassee.
Okay. Cool. Mm-hmm. Awesome. I got that one. That's great.
Let's see. Okay, this picture, and I have the bigger picture, but the names are on the smaller picture.
Okay, perfect. Yeah.
But this was a group from the Hiwassee River community of the development plan for operations 1961 conservation work.
Okay.
So this was a lot of the farmers and people up in the Presley or Hiwassee River community.
Going to move this. It's there. Mm-hmm. Sometimes this light gives a glare, so like, let's see. Okay, so I can move that up, and then I'll
just slide the names up.
Yeah, as well. Like it's. Yep, that'll work. And then that way I've got two copies of that. Fantastic. Cool.
And just for you, Carrie, this is Grandpa Malden, which
yes.
I don't know if you'd recognize him. That is Walter Osborne. That would be Tyler's
grandfather.
Yeah. This is Max England, who lived just out the road from me, Max and Ethel. Paul Dyer, James Dyer, you know, some of them I just know by looking at them.
Yeah.
Oh, there, yeah.
Look.
Yeah, James Dyer, that's my grandfather. James Sowers, your grandfather?
Cool. Mm-hmm.
That's him.
Mm-hmm.
I knew him. He went to church at Macedonia, I knew him going to church at Macedonia. So that's James, and that's Paul, and that's Earl, my grandfather, your great-grandfather, and that's Tyler's grandfather, Walter, and that's Max England, which Max England...
Is he related to Harry England somehow?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, he's part of that England. There's a Martin England, and there's a lot of the Englands that come down from there, and actually one of our, Douglas Malden married Carrie, and Carrie was in England, so Douglas Malden actually married, was it Douglas? Then
I'll
that
do them together
you want to do it,
and separate, and then that way.
Okay, so this is Douglas Malden, and the time period, I was trying to think, the time period was probably the early 1800s. Douglas Malden is with the horse. That would be my great-grandfather, Carrie's great-great-grandfather. With the horse, and the horse's name is Ricket, which it doesn't say there. But at the time, all these roads, it explains it a little bit in the article, at the time, there was not a DOT that took care of the maintenance on the roads. So men in the community were sent almost like a jury summons. They had to go and cruise and work on the roads. So this is a picture of one of the road crews that worked on Unicoi Turnpike, which is now Highway 17 that goes in front of our houses. So, and I guess it's unusual to me that Douglas Malden is the only one that had a horse.
Yeah, because normally you would think that would be your only means of transportation there.
Well, and it would be a major way to do work on the road, too.
Yes.
I mean, pulling logs, you know, all kinds of different things like that. So, but they were not paid for this work. This was just serving your community.
Yeah, like you said, almost like a jury summons, except for it was road work duty.
You get to go to road work.
Oh, wow.
That's road work.
Did you want this picture of the Bell Mountain in 1914 before mining took a bite out of the top?
I actually have a good picture of that, too. I brought a bunch of extra things in my car, so if y'all didn't have time to fill up, I talked with Tyler last night, and he said if y'all weren't staying busy, that I could pull a few more things out.
Absolutely. And so, I got a full picture of that magazine.
You got the whole thing.
Uh-huh.
Great.
They were mining for quartz. On Bell Mountain.
It was quartz?
Quartz. Okay. On Bell Mountain.
Okay.
Somebody told me it was clay. Or the brochure.
Okay. So we've done that one. Okay. So this is my next group. This is the original deed for the property I live on now that my dad bought in 1958 for $2,500.
Wow.
That has the most awesome view you've ever seen. So I found that going through his papers, the original deed. Okay, on it he had just a little rough house that I grew up in, but in the 70s he started to build the new house. So this is a picture of him in front of that new house when it's in the process of being under construction. The windows and doors are in, has felt paper on the outside, but there's nothing really done on the inside. There's not much done on the outside. The unique part about him building this house and this property is the fact that my dad was very old school. Born on the farm, just up the road. Everybody in the family tells me he was very much like my grandfather,
probably more than any of the other of the sons. He always wanted to build his own house. And when he decided, my mom at the time, she wanted a new house because it was just a little rough cabin I grew up in. His way of going about building a house was to go up on the mountain or Nanny's property, start cutting trees, logging, took them up to Sebatkin Sawmill where they sawed it into lumber. He brought the lumber home. He stacked it with little pieces in between so it could dry out before he ever dug footers, did anything. So this house is 99% or more built with lumber that he cut. He only bought lumber in the framing if he needed something longer than what he could cut. So, and this is my summer job. My summer job one summer when I was a young teenager was staining the house. He had finished it with boards and bats. He had the wide 12-inch pine boards, which I remember I always hung out with my dad. Being up on the mountain, there was this huge white pine that he cut, and that's what was sawed into these boards that were this wide that became the siding on the outside of the house that I had the job of staining. And then that's the picture of the house today.
Is this you?
That's me as a teenager. My summer job that summer was staining the house.
I love
painting
too.
And I have now inherited the house, but before I inherited it, my dad would build anything. Most all the family says my dad could do about anything. Mm-hmm. But he hated to paint. That's why I got the job of staining. So he eventually, in the late 90s, he had vinyl siding put on the outside of the house because he hated to paint. He didn't want to restain the house. So that siding is still underneath. The original wood siding is still underneath there.
Yeah.
He just had it covered up in.
Did you say where this was located?
That is located on Highway 17, south of here, like you're going toward Helen, just before the crossroads of Owl Creek and Mill Creek. Are you local? Mm-hmm. You know the area?
Yeah.
Do you know where the Culvert Sales is?
No.
Going up through there? Okay. Well, if you go up Hiawassee River, you will come to a place on the right-hand side of the road where they sell the big culvert pipe that like goes underneath roads for water drainage. Just past that, you start looking to your left, you see a big hay field. And that house is just at the end of that straight in the road, but that whole hay field I own today because my dad left it to me. I have 20 acres there. There was one lot right in the corner that's directly across from the culvert sales that he left to my sister that she immediately sold. Now she also got land that was part of the original Malden farm, so she kept it, but she sold that lot, which I hate. I wish she hadn't sold, but I met the original man that built the metal building. It's just a workshop for him, it's not a business. I was scared to death of having a convenience store right there in the corner of my property, but. And he sold it, but he sold it to a friend who it's also a workshop for. So
it's still is that the bars? Is that
it was Bruce Barr that originally bought it, okay. But he and his wife didn't really like living up here. They moved to Middle Georgia, and he sold it to a friend of his, Tom Miles, I think his name is. Okay. I've got it written down at home.
Yeah.
But I've met him, and he's a nice fella, and you know, I worked with a lady that was friends. There was a whole group of friends that went along with Bruce Barr, and her husband was one of the friends. So
really nice house.
That's the house today, and it is solid. Most everybody that has worked on it has said the wood is so hard you can't drive a nail into it. You have to drill a hole before you can drive a nail.
Yeah, probably.
The posts on the front porch are like rough sawed oak, and you literally have to
drill a hole before you can drive a nail. It's such hardwood. Such hardwood. So I thought that was a really nice story that my dad, and he literally, I mean, he hung sheetrock by himself, even on the ceiling. He worked up this little just way to rig to get a piece of sheetrock, you know, 14-foot pieces of sheetrock on the ceiling. He worked on it at night. I mean, he built it. There was never a mortgage on the house. And when he was raising, like, walls and roof and stuff, he'd get some men in the community, his brothers and, you know, some people just to come and help. But there was never a construction crew. There was never a mortgage. And I figured up at one point, and he tried to keep the cost really, really low. He found the cheapest interior doors, you know, vinyl in the kitchen and stuff that he bought from Hiawassee Hardware that I hated for years. But he built the house for about $20,000.
Wow.
This looks like the position where you were between these two.
It is. It is. That's right where I was. There used to be a big pine tree right there, which eventually had to be cut because it really was way too close to the house.
Right. That's what I figured.
But I have the barn in my hay pasture. I started to tell y'all where it's at. The hay field. You look up in the hay field, there's a barn. And during the pandemic, I painted an American flag on tin and put it up on the barn. So there's an American flag on the side of the barn. So you'll know that's me.
I love it. But to me, that's such an, like when you're coming and driving and you can look up there and see it. Just such an iconic thing. And I love it.
I think it's really neat having property that fronts right to the main highway to where, you know, and I've seen people pull off on the side of the road to take pictures of it. I think that's a really cool thing. And the one other thing, and this is technically number 11, but I'm going to go ahead and drag it anyway. I've got lots of things, but let's see. That's not the one. Let me get the right little piece of paper. It's a little newspaper clipping that my grandmother saved, and Aunt Betty went through all of Nanny's things paper by paper. Took her much time, and she found this little piece of paper that was reprinted. I don't know exactly when this paper was printed, but it's a section of so many years ago. The paper was originally printed in 1936. Okay. So my dad would have been 10 years old. So one little section here, just one little line, says Donald Malden, little son of Mr. and Mrs. Earl Malden, happened to a very bad accident last Sunday when he cut his thumb off with an axe.
Oh, damn.
Aunt Betty didn't even know this had happened until she found this.
Wow.
So, the story that goes with that, it's kind of funny that they'd print something like that in the paper in 1936 for number one, but at the time, you didn't run to the emergency room. Okay, so skip over many years, you know, I'm looking at my dad, I'm always noticing his hands, one of his thumbs, I don't remember which it was, but he had this little line. He didn't have a missing thumb. He had this line. It was a very distinct line toward the end of his thumb. And so one day I asked him, I said, Dad, why do you have that line on your thumb? And so he proceeds to tell me this story that he cuts his thumb off with an axe chopping wood. And since you don't run to the emergency room to do this, Nanny cleaned it as best she could. I think the thumb was maybe hanging on by a little bit of skin or something. She cleaned it, she bandaged it, put it back where it should go, bandaged it up really tight, and hoped it would reattach. And it did.
Oh, wow. Oh, my goodness.
It did. So he had his thumb, he just had this very distinct line where this part on the end was just a little bit smaller, but it was just a very distinct line.
Wow.
Where the scar tissue had
where the,
ended it.
Yeah, where mm-hmm. and where, because it had been cut, mm-hmm. that line stayed there, but he had his thumb. He didn't lose it.
Wow.
And then when Nanny finds this article about Dad cutting his thumb off, Aunt Betty didn't even know he'd cut his thumb off.
Oh, my goodness.
She didn't even know.
That's so crazy.
She didn't even know. So I thought that was really cool.
That's really, really cool. It's a good little story. And I wonder why they would have printed that in the newspaper. Like, was, you know, like...
Well, in the small towns way back then, in like the 20s and 30s, that's what made the news, was local things that happened to the local people. Yeah.
Local happenings.
They didn't put a lot of national or state news in.
And right above it, you can note, as I was looking at this, born to Mr. and Mrs. Ray Wilson, a daughter, February 16th. Ray Wilson would have been a brother to my grandmother, Mary Wilson, the lady that the postcard was wrote to. So I saw Modine in the grocery store last night, and so now I'm wondering, it doesn't say the name of this child that was born,
yeah.
but Ray Wilson, that's family too. So
yeah.
I kind of want to go back and ask Modine, who was born on February the 16th?
Yeah.
1936. I don't know if it was her or, you know, it
yeah.
may have been a sibling, but
how cool.
I just thought that's just, it's just cool that they put those kinds of things.
Do you
they
know
don't,
how old she is today?
I think Modine said she was like
about 88.
I think 90, you're in 90.
90.
I don't know. I'm going to have to call her. Once I saw that last night, I'm like, well, I need to know if it was her, because I said to her, I said, do you know about this? Because, you know, her being Ray Wilson's daughter, you know, she might have old pictures or
yeah,
stories. And
yeah.
I said, think about it. And
it might be fun to say, I know when your birthday is, February so-and-so, and watch her eyes.
Yeah.
Otherwise, she'll tell you, no, that's my sister.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was super cool.
So, that to me is just a special little thing. But, I mean, I've always kept all kinds of little things. And when my dad was dying of cancer, I found this book to our children's children. And in it, it has these questions. And I went in and asked my dad the questions and wrote down the answers to try to record, you know, a lot about his life that I'd never get a chance to ask again. So,
well, is there anything like you would like to wrap up with before we stop the recording?
Well, I could just say, historically, I don't have a picture printed, but my great-great-great-grandfather, your great-great-great-great, was Alexander Malden. He's the first one that we're aware of that lived in this community. He was one of the very early settlers. His wife, Anne, and their son, Oscar, graves were on what is now Island Cemetery. Their graves were moved when the lake was built. They came to my grandfather and asked permission to move those graves. So those graves are now at the New Birch Cemetery. And the story I know as far as why Alexander and Anne, that's the parents, were buried there, and their son Oscar, is their son Oscar was murdered on Shooting Creek. We think his throat was slit. And from what I've learned talking to Jerry Taylor, he believes that that was about the time where there was the North and the South thing going on, and the Maldens were Union sympathizers, even though they lived in the South.
We've heard this story.
And
yeah.
we think very possibly he was murdered by some kind of row over the North-South thing.
Wow.
So he's buried there with his parents. And they originally lived down in that community. Of course, before the lake was built, the road went totally different. You didn't have to go all the way around town. I mean, you could go down Highway 17 and where it crosses 76, you just went straight on.
Yeah.
You know? But the lake came and all the roads had to be routed around it.
Yeah.
And so they originally lived there, but then they moved to the Hiawassee River community later on.
Cool.
And bought that farm. It's still in the family today.
Super, super cool.
Well, good. Well, thanks.
Yes, thanks for sharing.